I want to round up this week by looking at the book of Titus. On Monday, we looked at a few verses from Titus, I think chapter 2. What I wanted to do today is look at a few verses from Titus chapter 3. This is the letter, a letter that Paul wrote to Titus. There's only three chapters, so this is kind of Paul's thoughts as he's rounding up his thoughts and his comments to Titus. I'm just going to start reading from chapter 3. Remind them, now this is Paul, giving instruction to Titus, but it's also things that we can apply in our own lives. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. It's good advice for us. We're to be subject to those who are in authority over us, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. He who poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And then it goes on, there's probably about six more verses, but here's what I want us to focus on. So again, remember, this is Paul, and he's writing this to Titus, and he's given Titus instructions on how to be a leader and what Titus needs to be and do, and the things he needs to teach and share and develop in those who are around him. So I want to start, just going back, I want to start looking at verse number 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is making it clear. This is an important statement. Now, when you read that, when you hear that, it's like, yeah, okay, I know that. Let me read that to you from, this is 4, 5, and 6. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, to man, as man, appeared, He saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but because of His own pity and mercy, by the cleansing bath of the new birth, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out so richly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He did it in order that we might be justified by His grace, by His favor, holy, undeserved, that we might be acknowledged and counted as conformed to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, and that we might become heirs of eternal life according to our hope. This message is the most trustworthy and concerning, these things, I want you to insist steadfastly, so that those who have believed in, trusted, and relied on God may be careful to apply themselves to honorable occupations and doing good, for such things are not only excellent and right in themselves, but are good and profitable for all people. I love the fact that what Paul is saying to Titus is, listen, I'm giving you some insights. Now, these are things you already know, Titus, but I'm giving you some deeper insights into them. And I want you to understand that as I share these things, that this is a faithful saying. When Paul talked about that saving grace, when Paul talked about the sacrifice that Jesus made, when Paul talks about you being regenerated, being renewed because of the Holy Spirit that is in you. So in other words, Paul is saying that when you accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, your spirit was made alive. You were renewed. You were made a new creation. You were regenerated. And about these things, he says, thus having been justified by grace, we should be heirs according to hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. It is only a handful of times in the New Testament, when you read Paul's letters, there's a handful of times that he uses this very statement, but it's only a handful of times. He says, this is a faithful saying. You know, when you see Paul, now Paul is speaking through the leading of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So when you see things like that, we should take note of it. If in all the writings of Paul, and ask yourself this, The Gospels give us the greatest insights as to the life of Jesus Christ, the life that he lived in this flesh, and about his death and his resurrection. But to fully understand the sacrifice and to fully understand all that it meant, to fully understand the new covenant that Jesus brought, ask yourself this: who has the best, who did God give the best insight, the best understanding, the best comprehension of the new covenant? Who did he give that to? Clearly, it's Paul. Paul had, and he shared it with us so we can have that same thing, and we can have that greatest. But when you look through all of the epistles and all through writings of the New Testament, the greatest understanding and comprehension of the new covenant was given to Paul. So when you read the writings of Paul, and you see that Paul, speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, makes a comment only a handful of times, and it's a comment that points us in a direction or is a marker for us, is a highlight. It's like Paul took his highlighter in the letter that he sent. He took his yellow highlighter, and he highlighted that section. And he's saying, listen, this is important. Remember this part. When he says this is a faithful saying, that should get our attention. That means something. So what is the faithful saying that Paul is talking about? Well, the verse that is just before it, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this is a faithful saying. What he's talking about is the salvation that you enjoy as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because you know Jesus Christ, and because you knew that you were a sinner, and because you knew that you needed his grace and his sacrifice, and because you accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, because you accepted the fact that Jesus, as your substitute, paid the price for your sins, because you acknowledged and accepted that Jesus' shed blood was for you, to pay the price for your sin, that you are not your own, our lives are not our own, that we are bought and purchased by the price of Jesus and his blood. When you acknowledge that, you had new life. That is when that change took place in you. Eternity for you changed forever at that moment. Now, for most of us, when we think about salvation, we think, which is great, that, listen, there's no greater gift than he's given. The life that we have in this lifetime is but a whisper. It's a vapor. It will pass. In the eternity, in the scheme of eternity, the 70, 80, 90 years that we live is nothing. If you live to be the oldest person on the earth, let's say that you live to be 120 years old, you'd be the oldest person on earth. I think the oldest documented person was like 122 years old. So let's say you live to be 125 years old. You're the oldest documented person, not including, you know, Old Testament times. So you're the oldest documented person in thousands of years. That's a long lifetime. It's a vapor. It's a whisper. It's a fraction. It's a small fraction of a moment in time compared to eternity. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your eternity changed forever. And there's no greater gift that Jesus has given than your eternity changed forever. That you have eternity where you're not paying the price for your sins, but instead you have a relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ. You will spend eternity with Jesus and with the Father. You will spend eternity living in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual realms, and all the good that comes with that. That's what you will have. That's a great thing. But here's the point that Paul is saying. Paul is talking about, he just talked about all of that in verses 4, 5, and 6. And he's talking about what Jesus did. He's talking about because Jesus came and because Jesus died, and then through the Holy Spirit, your spirit was changed by the Holy Spirit when you accepted his work. Paul's talking about that change that took place in you. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation and for eternity. But the verse that is right before the verse where Paul says, this is a faithful saying, it comes after everything he talked about with salvation. Here's a part of salvation that we too often overlook. And this is the part, we understand eternity with Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. We understand that we can't fully comprehend that in these little natural minds of ours. But we know that spending eternity with Jesus Christ is going to be beyond our comprehension of greatness. And yet Paul is saying, don't miss this fact. Verse number 7, that having been justified because of the work of Jesus Christ, by his grace, We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. In these things, I want you to affirm constantly that those who believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Paul is saying, right before he says, this is a faithful saying, he's talking about what's taking place with us. We're saved, thank you, Jesus. But don't just live the rest of your life. Don't just live the rest of your life looking towards after this life. That's going to be great, greater than you can possibly imagine. And because you really can't even possibly imagine it, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about heaven because it's beyond our natural ability. Our minds are finite. The things of the spiritual realm in heaven are infinite. And so our finite man's minds cannot begin to comprehend those things of the infinite. So we know that it's great, and we know that it's going to be beyond compare. And we are thankful and joyful. But we can't and shouldn't live our lives looking and thinking that, I'm not belittling that benefit, don't misunderstand me, but we shouldn't be thinking that the only benefit we have is eternity with Jesus Christ, as great as that is, greatest gift ever. Paul's saying, don't miss out on this fact, that in this life, in the rest of this life, in this life that you live in this natural world, you are an heir with Jesus. That's an important fact to remember. Oftentimes, we don't live that way. Because if I knew that I was a joint heir with Jesus, and Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 17, that we are joint heirs with Jesus. If I understand that I am a joint heir with Jesus, if I understand that fact as a joint heir, first of all, an heir means what? Well, when you have someone a patriarch or someone that's, you know, if your father and mother pass away and you're the only child, you are the heir. So everything that they obtained is yours. You're the heir. The heir apparent. It all goes to you. Well, the same thing is true. Everything that Jesus won through his victory on the cross, everything that he obtained through his victory on the cross, it now goes to you. So victory in what? In everything and over everything. In finances, in health, in relationships. You are. Is there anything that Jesus is not victorious over? Is there anything in this life that has victory over Jesus? No, he is victorious over all things, and he's given you the victory. You are an heir of his. Let me read verse number 7 again, but let me read it again from the Amplified Bible. And he did it in order that we might be justified by his grace, by his favor, wholly undeserved, that we might be acknowledged and counted as conformed to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, and that we might become heirs of eternal life according to our hope. We have all that comes with eternal life. And Paul talks about eternal life. And Paul talks about the things that are for us and that we have everything that is required in the spiritual realm. All of that belongs to us. And Paul says, after he makes that statement, that having been justified by his grace, in other words, since you became saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, you're a new creation, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Because of the eternal life that we have, we should become heirs of Jesus Christ. In other words, inheriting everything. Eternal life? Absolutely. Eternity with Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But everything with eternal life is also, it's not just for after this life, it is for here in this lifetime, in this life as well, where the promises of Jesus Christ are yours. And Paul says this is a faithful saying. And so it's a saying that we should remember and we should live in our lives today. Live a life as a victorious overcomer in Jesus Christ, as a joint heir with Jesus in every victory that he's established for you. This is a faithful saying.